Now, you will realize you're listening to Wrestle Horror. This is Damien Reaper. And it's time you rest in damnation. You better believe it, baby. My boot in your ass. Hell yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meet Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. And Donnie's back in the studio this week with the deflating Pennywise balloon.
Yes, I'm back. And yeah, the balloon, I think this is probably going to be the last episode for it. It's about the size of an apple now. It's it's been going week by week, and I think it's about done.
You think it's done?
Yeah, I think I'll change her out for the next episode.
Well, we're going to concentrate on this episode. And on this episode, we have a special guest with us. He is a haunt legend in the Cincinnati area. I am, of course, talking about Damien Reaper. Damien, my friend, it has been too long. How have you been?
Coming out of the crypt after all these years. And I feel it. I feel the pain, but I'm ready to take it out on all your listeners.
Good, because I know my listeners and our listeners are ready to hear it. Let's go back and let's talk about Damien Reaper. I mean, you've got such a history. And like I said, you know, everybody in the Cincinnati area and beyond knows who Damien Reaper is. You are a legend in the haunt industry, but you also based your characters on wrestling character. You based your character on wrestling characters and prominently is, of course, The Undertaker. And what prompted you to get into this crazy haunt business, and how did the Undertaker play into that?
Way back in 1998, feels like 1,000 years ago and a couple pounds lighter than I am presently. I started off with Dungeon of Delhi. A mutual friend who works for Dent Schoolhouse named Andy Becker introduced me to this crazy place, and it was a charity haunt. So, and we were trying to figure out, I did not want to play Freddy or Jason because I don't have the physique of either one of them. I don't really have the physique of The Undertaker either. I wish I did, but I knew how to roll back my eyes and stick out my tongue, which is a little longer. I had to keep, wiping the floor down. But, and I was trying to, go into what would be, I was a teenager already. So, trying to piece together who this funeral director was, because that's the room I wanted, because I knew I could raise out of it when I could do that. And, and that first scare was, directly from Undertaker. I remember two girls walking in from the headhunter room. That was a room before me, with a little 8-year-old going, "Oh no, no, no," and there's a sheet over my face, and they came in. I rose up, I grabbed the sheet over my face, rolled back my eyes, and I just heard screaming, and something just clicked. And one thing about The Undertaker is he kept on adapting and changing with times, and so did Damien. He had to keep changing and evolving, from Dungeons to Dent to Maul. When I did character Blammo, that was more of the little bit of Uncle Fester, a little bit, maybe a little bit of Doink was, introduced to them too, a little bit of Joker as well. So when returning to Dent, to cap to close the door forever doing this stuff. It just was like a storybook ending. Even though I didn't get to play Damian, I ended up with a great group, with Damian doing with Maul, ended Blammo with Dent. And even though I do art, and I'm going to try to do videos whenever I feel like it, and, you know, the character of Damian just mirrors Undertaker and Gene Simmons and Alice Cooper, because they're my heroes. You know, I like Batman, I like Superman, I like villains. That's what I like. I like guys that scared the heck out of people. You know, and I watched during the 90s, Undertaker, Mankind, Kane, and now I watch Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss. So whenever I get a chance to, it's hard to, I got the Hulu that I watch them on. I don't watch TV that much anymore. But, you know, it's all full circle and all something I'm, you know, always passionate for and promoting. And you know, all these young kiddies, they're now doing Haunting. They got Brave New World against them now without the old Reaper being around.
Well, I know the old Reaper's definitely got some advice for the younger actors out there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I've watched so many different iterations of the Damian Reaper character over the years, during my time when I worked with Dent, again, when we were working together at Maul. You keep reinventing, just like you mentioned it earlier, like the Undertaker, you keep reinventing yourself. But then sometimes you have to go back to the original. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you do that as well. And the Damian Reaper character, I mean, if you reach out into the haunt community right now, I'd say a good 90-95% of the people are going to know who Damian Reaper is, which is phenomenal in your book for what you've done. And your passion for the haunt industry is second to none. I mean, let's face it, you know, nobody's got the passion you've got for this. And you take everything that you've learned and you've done, and you project it towards everything you do. You know, more than some people can. You know, a lot of us try to do that, but you achieve that on a daily basis.
Yeah, I try. I mean, I just went through this great, you know, train, and it just kept going and going until God kicked me in the ass and said, "God, slow down." And that was like a pressed disc, and that was kind of a wake up call to go, it's time to wear down. But he's going to, Damian will be in my artwork. He is on my mind. He's within my head. So, you know, and I'm, keeping the Dungeon of Delhi memory alive through the Facebook, Dungeon of Delhi legacy, if I can talk correctly. And, I know Danton is always going to be going on. Maul is going on. With or without me, we will always share something that not many people get to, have, which is we climb the mountain together, and no matter how dysfunctional it all is, we are family. We always will be.
That's right. That's right. And you and I have been up and down this road for years. And we both pretty much retired. Mm-hmm. But I think you've got so much more to give to the haunt community, as far as, encouraging younger actors, because, I mean, you're Damian Reaper. I mean, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, you're a legend. And, people would do well to listen to what you've got to say because of what you've done and what you've achieved and your passion for haunting. And, I'm going to go back all the way to the first part. I went to a Dent meeting, mm-hmm. Which was, I was down in Kentucky at some yacht club or something. And it was my first time. I had worked at Kings Island for 2 years, and I showed up and I saw all these people I didn't know, and you were right there and you welcomed me with open arms. You know, you didn't judge. You introduced yourself. And the first thing I looked at you, I said, Meatloaf.
I have that great look. You know, all the girls want it. I'll do anything for love. And I can't sing that.
But, you know, your passion is really what drove me. And, you know, it even goes up to, you know, when Jason and I formed Mall, Jason got a lot of his inspiration from you. You were the reason he wanted to do this. You know, he reached out to me and Kirby to help train him, but you were the instigator. You were the one that he was trying to emulate. He said, Damien's the reason why I want to do this.
And I think about him and, of course, the great Josh Gentry and Allie Kurtz that's also passed away. Right. And, you know, I pray to heaven that no, we don't lose anyone else. And
it's all right. I understand. I'm right there with you, brother. I knew them all.
You know, we talk about, you know, haunting, and sometimes it can be very, this is that team. Like I said, we all love each other. We just want to strangle each other at the same time. And there were, when I look back now that I'm retired, I can look back on it and look at the good moments a lot more, you know. And that's what I think I needed for a while. And I'm always willing to teach whatever I can, especially on TikTok. I've been doing little things on there. And, you know, I feel very old doing it, but, you know, I'm always there for any actor that wants to listen. And I see all of our peers doing what you guys are doing, the podcasting, the videos, the YouTubes. And I think it's fantastic. I'm very proud of everybody for being that monster that I kept talking about. I don't need to do it. You guys are doing it.
Yeah, I see. I wanted to. Oh, I'm sorry, Jim.
He was definitely an innovator.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Donnie.
Yeah, I was just want to touch on that a little bit. And because like I said, when we had the Trail of Tormented Terror there for a couple of years, you and Mikey Four Eyes came down and guest acted for us. And we got heard nothing but positive comments. And it was the first time I got to see you actually do work live and all that. But now that since you've retired and all that, and you say you're doing the TikTok videos and all that, is there any plans or any thoughts of like creating your own training and like going to the conventions and doing classes and all that?
I thought about doing YouTube classes, like teaching on there, teaching on Twitch or whatever. And I'm on Twitch a lot with my friends that do video games, GPTV, which I never plug because I'm the king of plugs. But you know, is that Mick Foley? He does those plugs too. And, but it's just one of those things where being mobile, driving wise, because as Jim knows, I'm like an 80-year-old man trying to drive through traffic, and that car is almost dead now. But YouTube is a possibility, Twitter, tweet, or all that crap. And all the social medias I'm on, you look up Damien Reaper. So if there is anything to do, there's something there. I would like to do more. Me and Jim talked a class before up at Midwest Haunted Convention. Mm-hmm. I remember. My memory's not gone. And
I was going to mention that you beat
me. And I did. You know, with Dent, we went down to Fear Fair, I think 2010 or it was somewhere around there. Yeah. We were a lot younger and thinner, as I always say. And, you know, and I got to teach along with you or Bud, Bud Strauss and Tater Lynn. And Keith Newsom, I've taught or got taught by him, Crazy Bob Turner, all of them. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I've always thought of, you know, it being like wrestling, where we're all promoter, you know, promoters and selling ourselves. We're there to whore to the public, you know, all of our creativity and craziness. And even though we don't, you know, we didn't get quite to the Hollywood thing, we've been pretty close to it, and that's pretty cool. And you know, I don't see myself getting beyond Playgirl magazine anytime soon, but you know, or even with wrestling, I would love to meet Undertaker, you know, after this pandemic. And I've got a shout out from Mick Foley the other day.
Nice.
He did a, you know, he saw a someone's tattoo of a sexy Mankind lady, and I posted a picture of him, you know, rocking back and forth talking to Jim Ross. And he goes, "Yep, that's me. Not that." You know, and he's just a cool dude. And I, you know, Asuka, like, you know, always like Bray Wyatt is a genius. If any young, you know, haunters want to learn and kind of model, you know, something from him too, you know, he's a genius, I think, when it comes down to creativity. Even though he hasn't been on Raw as of late, Alexis Bliss is with her Dolly Lily has, but that's cool too. I think that's neat, especially the girls need a horror character in WWE. I know there's been a Abaddon or a AEW, so you know there's always room for it. Just like haunting, you know, it's just a way to create and sell ourselves. And like I said, pour ourselves out, you know, that's what I'm going to have in my gravestone with all the logos of the haunting. Right. Damien Reaper, pour himself out, bent over, never mind. But, you know, it's all been cool.
Well, you know, you, that's how you get followers. That's how you get people to pay attention to you. Basically, got to whore yourself out. I mean, wrestlers do it all the time. I mean, and on-actors should do it too. If, you know, if they want to be recognized, if they want to, you know, get to the next level, whore yourself out. I mean, that's what social media is for. Yep. I mean, you know, we should whore out wrestle horror more than we do, but.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's true. Just nonstop, you know, posting. And it's like the person that I feel that comes close to Damien of doing that is Amanda Revenge. Amanda Revenge has a great eye for marketing herself. And, you know, she's always been a great friend as well. She's the bringer of brown M&Ms, as we've talked about in a Big Scary Show a long time ago. And she, you know, we've talked about that too. And but she's really great on getting a good website, you know, good social media presence. And goes on the groups. I don't go on the groups myself because that's a lot. That's a lot of people. And, you know, I think doing it sparingly, you know, at my, you know, of not knowing those things. Back in the day, I used to go on message boards and MySpaces. You remember those people. MySpaces. And really sell on there and whatever social media that was back then I was pretty good at. Today, I know nothing about because, you know, it evolves so quickly. It's hard to keep up, and it's hard, you know, it's like YouTube doing films, as Jim and I know, doing videos. It takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of effort to sell ourselves or sell the groups that we've been a part of. And some are hit and miss, but it's all in good fun. And that's what people are going to look at, is us having fun. And what, you know, I tried to make a video last year for Halloween. I have on there with the great music of Robert Weil, Weil. I can never pronounce his name because I never heard it. And but he made great theme music for me. And as well as Jerry Vane has made great music as well. I'll do him a shout out because he gave me the same a message on Facebook the same time you did, Jim, about yesterday. And just talking about some of the one of the movie projects that we were part of. And
yeah. We won't talk about that one, will we?
I had fun with it because if you take a shot every time you see a monster, you'll be drunk and dead by dawn, you know. But you know, it was to me, it was just like I said, if it's fun, it's awesome. And when we were all on all cylinders of, you know, either group, it was just a magic. There was magic, and you know, and with that being said, I said that, you know, I made a lot of mistakes, and I welcome everyone always in my life, and not to whore myself out. Maybe that later, but you know, everybody's always welcome, you know, and to divide ourselves now, you know, at all of our ages, and you know, as my cane is sitting right over there on the side, you know, it's we lost Spinny, and now we are so blessed, you know, great memories, and I actually got to wrestle in a ring at one time.
Yes, you did.
Nice.
That was before Donnie, before you wrestled Becker, wasn't it?
No, it was somebody, Keith down at Fear Fair. It was a guy played Igor, okay. And Jeeper Creepers came in and blindsided me 2-on-1. And we had to make sure I lost. And to me, because there's home advantage and also or his name was Zach Thompson, who was playing Igor. That was I was fighting, and you know, I had short hair, and I had, you know, I didn't know what to expect because I'm not trained, and you should always be trained correctly doing that type of stuff. And though you know, I'm, you know, it's like haunting. You should train yourself and make sure you're physically able to do both. And That's why, you know, I beat the crap out of my body, and I can feel it today, you know. But, you know, I wouldn't have any other way.
Yep, same.
You know, you mentioned that, and I'm going to do a shameless plug here, because you're talking about being trained, whether it's be wrestling or haunting. And Donnie has put together something called WrestleFit at the Now Training Center, where one of our goals is to help haunt actors get into shape for haunt season, doing this program, because as you know, it is a very physical job.
Yep.
And it exhausts you, and you've got to be ready for it, or you're just not going to make it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been doing it myself for the last couple of weeks, and it's definitely wearing me out. I mean, I'm getting better every time, but it's definitely tough.
Oh, look at, he's got his stretch pants there. Yep,
there you go.
Yeah, they got my thigh master too.
There you go. And to touch back on your social media comments and stuff, I think you had a really good point I want to bring out with our wrestle whore concept of haunters and wrestlers being the same in a lot of ways. The social media and the brand building is another way that they are the same, because both haunters and wrestlers are basically live performance actors. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't get to say cut, let's reshoot that. You know, it's live in your face. They got to go, you know, there's no second shots. So, you know, and while they're doing that in a character. And so building that character's brand is very important, and to where they don't have to rely necessarily on getting that paycheck from the wrestling promoter or getting that paycheck from the haunt owner. They can brand themselves and market themselves and create other streams of income, which is very important. So, you know, I agree. Like when you said you used to market on the old school social medias, you know, that was very smart, because that's what people should be doing today. All, you know, if you have your own haunt character, if you have your own wrestling character, that character should have a Facebook page, that character should have a Twitter name, it should have a Instagram page, a TikTok, you know, it should be branding itself, getting it out there. And, you know, because it is a live performance character, and they should treat it as such. So that's a very, I thought that was a very good point you brought up.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you have to, you know, keep going. Now with, you know, something like Dent, it kind of markets itself, but it's good to market yourself as an actor as well, because no one else will do that for you. You know, right. I had to learn the hard way. I started with a web TV. Anybody that remembers that, you know, back in '90s, and that's how I met Randy Shadle from House of Doom. He was a haunt reviewer, really good guy. I wish I could get a hold of him, but he lives in Japan. That lucky guy, you know, he has a wife that does magazines of giant monsters, and you know, I wish I can get a hold of him and you know, shoot the crap, you know, of the old days. You'd be surprised I'm retired, and you know, even though I've been bitching about it for years, you know, I think we all do at some point. And you know, it's just one of those things where you have to be in people's minds 24/7, or then you're going to be forgotten. And I think you know, it's like you guys with the podcasts, people with YouTubes and Twitters and Twitches and zigzags and nuts and whatever. You know, I know everybody's waiting for an OnlyFans of Damian Reaper, but it's not going to happen. You know,
plug that at the end of the show, are we?
That's going to be on big old meat bags for you. You know, but you have to do all this stuff just because it's free. It's free. And, you know, doing films, you know, Damian Reaper had a video that's on YouTube doing film type stuff. And it wasn't as great as what I wanted to be, but we got to do it. And Danny got, you know, Dan Leopold and Troy Baudock and a whole bunch of, you know, both Maul and Dent actors helped me out with that. And I think that's what we all need to do. And maybe I'll do it, you know, I've been toying with a script, but I'm a lazy old fart. So I'm not going to, I spent my whole life, you know, trying to push everybody. And sometimes it's just time to relax and chill. And I spent all that time doing all that stuff. So it's time to chill out, especially with a pandemic. What timing? But, you know, it just gave me opportunity to stop, you know, and really reflect, you know, of stuff that I was doing, either right or wrong, or any of that stuff. You know, you got to whore yourself out, kiddies, or they'll forget you.
Well, speaking of whoring yourself out, we're going to take this break right now to hear a message from our sponsor, Squared Circle Expo, and we will be right back when we talk more with Damian Reaper. Stand by.
Hey, wrestling fans, are you ready for the biggest wrestling convention in the Midwest? Well, wait no longer. The Squared Circle Expo, May 14th and 15th, at Wyndham Indianapolis West Hotel, Indianapolis, Indiana. Featuring the biggest names in wrestling, including 2021 WWE Hall of Fame inductee, the Big Red Machine Kane, Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts, Hall of Famer The Godfather, UFC WWE legend Dan the Beast Severn, Darby Allin, Dustin Rhodes, The Gun Club, Vicky Guerrero, Booker T, and many more being announced daily. Tickets are going fast, so make sure you get to the website and get your hotel and your tickets to the show at squaredcirclex.com. Thanks to our friends at Collar and Elbow. Live wrestling, Q&A panels, vendors, after parties, the Squared Circle Expo. We'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to the commercial, and we're back with Damian Reaper and my co-host Donnie Hoover. Damian, you know, before I went into the break, you were talking about all these different things about whoring yourself out and social media stuff. And you were talking about, you know, videos and such. And you haven't mentioned yet that you and I were actually in a movie.
Yes, we were.
Several, actually two at least.
Yeah, two of them on IMDb. And I put it on, it's on my little Alexa thingy, my jobber. I can say my name and then say your name and it'll pop up. that's fancy.
And those movies, of course, the good one of the two was, of course, Revelation Trail, mm-hmm. where we played zombies.
What was the name of it again?
Revelation Trail.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Ghost House of Hunting. We won't talk about that very much.
I'm still trying to find that one.
I Jerry looked it up yesterday. You can't find it in the States. It's only abroad.
It's a great movie to get drunk for. Or right. With. Yeah.
It's stage
it's like, it's like Birdemic.
Yeah. But Revelation's Trail was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a long day out in the middle of Kentucky filming.
Yeah.
But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for the world because I had a ball. And I don't know how you felt, Damien, but I was good with it.
I had a wonderful time. I got shot in the face, and that's why I landed on my back. Maybe that's a good reason. One of the reasons why my back is screwed up is because I took that pratfall. But, yeah, it was great. Dent, Bud Strauss, Amber and Johnson and Megan Smith was doing makeup, and they invited us to go do some zombie work, and I got shot in the face, and a lot of other great talent from Dent and what would be going into Mall got the opportunity, and it was really cool. Got to go in the old west type of feeling of zombies, and it is on Amazon Prime. I got to do a plug for that. I don't think, like you said, I didn't see a haunting, but it would be great to see it, but you have to be plastering.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dying to see it. I think Paragon is too.
Yeah, I know. We were talking to Paragon about that, but apparently Revelation Trail is on Prime now.
I think the last time I saw, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a physical copy of either one, or do I? If I do, it's in the drawers. I've got a
physical copy of Revelation Trail.
Okay.
And yeah, it was fun. I didn't actually. I was a zombie, but I didn't actually die because I got hit in the shoulder.
Oh.
So I could actually come back for Revelation Trail too.
There you go.
Call them up.
Was it in 2013?
2013, yeah. But that's when it came out.
It
came out in 2013, but we were working on it in 2010.
Yeah, we were, yeah.
It come up in the search. I'm on my phone trying to search for it. It came up in the search, but it says the video is unavailable, so they must have took it down or something.
I've got a copy of it, Donnie.
Oh, okay, cool.
Next time I'm up that way, I'll bring it to you. You can watch it.
There you go.
And my granddaughter is in that too.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes a bullet to the head. I mean, big time in the scene. I mean, he's like, there's her face in the scene and boom, bullet shot to the head.
Nice.
So it was fun. We really enjoyed ourselves, and and not just me and Damien, but there are other people that were Mall and or Dent actors. That were a part of this, and we all got to play zombies.
Mm-hmm.
How cool was that?
Yeah, can't beat that,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's steer the conversation a little bit more towards wrestling now, Damien. I know that Undertaker's right there on top of your list, but what really got you started in pro wrestling? What was the hook that got you into watching?
Because I watched it way before Undertaker was there. It might have been a year or two before, because Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man and Hulk Hogan were the big three, and it was on Superstars on Channel 64. That's as far as back I can remember. And Jake the Snake was in there. He was a big one. He had that great raspy voice. And so I watched a lot of, the Superstars. And when Undertaker came in 90, that was it. That was the guy. There was something, I start doing that stuff in school too, rolling my eyes back, which teachers loved. It was way back all the way then. There's a friend of mine that I wish I can get a hold of, Nathan Michelson. It was a kid that had Down syndrome and who also loved wrestling. And, you know, I befriended him because he was getting picked on by bullies. And, you know, I took the bully's hand, took both their, his middle finger and index finger and bent it back. And it was a great time spending on a wall, you know. And but me and him connected through wrestling. And I would go over there. He would, it was, by that point, it was a new generation, which Undertaker would turn purple, and Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels was starting to get huge. Diesel, Razor Ramon. Then Mankind came in. Then I started getting into ECW around, you know, 95, 96, somewhere around there. And, of course, you know, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, Dudley Boys, all those guys were, you know, making waves there. I did not get to see WCW as much because we didn't have cable. So everything was 64 and 25 watching ECW on there. Then I had a mutual friend from childhood also watching it, Brandon Benninghouse, which again, I don't connect with him that much anymore. But, you know, that was my history of getting into professional wrestling. And it was like, you know, larger than life superheroes battling out like in Mount Olympus. And then the girls came in, and that was a whole new story.
So you missed out on WCW Nitro with the Nitro girls.
Yeah. And, you know, Stacey Keibler was a favorite of mine when she was in WWF at the time. And I know that's where she started from. And, yeah.
Well, the good old days.
Good old days. I mean, I like the girls now. They can kick some ass, mm-hmm. You know, Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair and a lot of them that are really making waves right now and that should, you know, get more opportunities. And unfortunately, what I read, you know, they lost 10 superstars that they recently in the Iconics, I think, was going to be that big star that, you know, both of them. And kind of fumbled with that. And so the future is bright, I think, more now than I watched it 10 years ago. And I think, I still miss Undertaker and Kane. But Kane's a mayor, and Undertaker, like me, is retired same year. You know, it wasn't by chance. you know, probably I know he has more problems than what I got because of stuff he's been through, but it's like, I was watching that show where they're getting old vintage outfits and stuff. So they'll keep Undertaker busy.
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't know if you saw my Facebook posts recently, but I took a drive by Stamford.
I saw that.
What'd you think of that?
I'm surprised Vince didn't come out and say, "Hey,
get off my lawn!
Get off my lawn!" Poor guy looks rough, but Stephanie and Triple H are great. You know, seem like cool people. I never got meet them. I did get to meet Owen Hart and Sable a long time ago. I forgot to mention that.
Very nice.
Back when Brian Pillman's memorial happened. Mm-hmm. Who knew, Owen would unfortunately pass away the way he did. And Sable. I wish I had still had the photos of them. But that's gone probably somewhere lost in time. But, yeah.
So, you know, we're going to go back a little bit to the Damien Reaver character. And, you know, we've talked about all these wrestlers, and it wasn't just The Undertaker that was an influence, like you said. But, you were looking at Gene Simmons. You were looking at Alice Cooper. These are all, it's a conglomeration of what made you you. Mm-hmm. It's not just wrestling, but it's horror and it's rock horror. All these things. I mean, you do the Undertaker eye roll, you do the Gene Simmons tongue thing, or the Undertaker tongue thing, depending on how you look at it. And you know, nobody does it like you do, man. I mean, I don't know if you can do it, but can you take your glasses off, get close to the camera, and do the eye roll? There you go. That still creeps me out. I don't see how you do that.
I just watched him, and you know. Like I said, my teachers loved it when I was doing that on the school bus, you know, and I remember one kid just staring at me, and, you know, it's all because, you know, these larger life characters, you know, metal and wrestling and all the, you know, horror, you know, even with some of my timing, I just got a shout out yesterday from Curly from Three Stooges, his grandson. And there was a little bit of Three Stooges, you know, element, you know, and Damien too, when some of his verbiage and how to do timing. And because those guys did, you know, of course, start out with vaudeville, which had, I believe, wrestling in it, or at least conjoined with it, with circus stuff. But it all connects. It all... You know, it's all this great Americana, you know, element to it all. Bigger, larger than life, you know. We are, how did Hulk Hogan song go?
I'm a real American.
I'm a real American, blah, blah, blah. Mm. It, larger than life. King Kong, Godzilla. I mean, Godzilla's Japanese, but... It's larger than life. It's larger than life. And, you know, that's, you know, I can't say I brought it to haunting because there's other people in our town, which before me, like the Cool Ghoul and, of course, Bleto the Clown, Brett Ryan, did it way before I did. And, you know, and, but I just, like I said, I couldn't get into the Freddy shirt or the gloves or Michael Myers mask, even though I did take on my Michael Myers mask and turn it into a Damien Reaper mask one time, a few times. But it's all connected, larger than life.
Well, see, you just, I mean, and you said it right there. You didn't want to be an established character. You wanted to be your own character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely what you've created. And, you know, there's been years and years of people that look up to you and respect you for what you've done in this business. And some people may not have even met you, but like I said, they know your name. And knowing your name speaks volumes, I mean, for the business. And you know, you've got it in spades, my friend. I've respected you for as long as I've known you.
Neutral.
And you know, there's been times when I was down and you drove me. There were times when you were down and I drove you. It's, mm-hmm. It's a mutual respect thing. And I can't appreciate you more for that, for what you've done to the haunting business in the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
26 years now.
Yep, 21 years I did, you know, and to be at the birth of Dungeons Del Hoy, Dead Schoolhouse, and Mall, we made each other the best, you know, none of us got rich, really rich from it. But what we share and what, you know, what the, you know, like the new kids over at Dead Schoolhouse, which they're hungry. They're hungry to make themselves a star now. And I'm, like I said, I was completely fine stepping away from last year because I saw what the future looks like here, you know, and getting to play with them, and what they're going to bring to the next generation. Sometimes myself and other people's ideas are different, but it's all the same being larger than life. Where the future is going is what these kids are going to learn, and all these kids charity haunts I really love the most, because they're like clay, and what they are going to be the future. As great as people call me an icon or larger than life, or even City Blood last year had me as on a list of people for a lifetime achievement award, I lost, and that's fine, because there's plenty of people on there that deserve it more than I do. Crazy Bob Turner's, Kelly Collins, all these great people. I should always be on the bottom of the list. And, as long as I'm breathing air, even if I'm retired, maybe people will vote for me or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we all do. And that's the future. And, these young kids are going to be looking up to, people in Mall, people in Dent, people in all types of haunts that are doing it right now. And they're going to lead the way. And that was a good closer for me from going back to Dent. Sure. It was that end of the novel. Go back home. Even though Dungeons is gone, it was a good ending. And I couldn't, even though I really wanted to stay with Mall, I really did, but I couldn't keep going and moving and doing all the rides and the White Castles and the Taco Bells and the farts of, people like in Mall, like we talked about Mikey Reynolds and Mike Ratcliffe, they're doing what, you and Danny and I showed them, and doing it in a bigger way. And if we can get back to normalcy, I see Mall doing all cylinders. I was really proud of Dent for sticking it out last year. One of the things was they had to limit their actors of how many actors they could have in the haunt, and that was majority of what a lot of haunters did. And I said, okay, I'm done. I don't need to, because we have that history. We will forever be bonded by this. And I keep saying how blessed I am, and blessed to have you guys in my life. And even though sometimes I'm sure people want to strangle me, and that's why I took that picture of me, you, and Bud, of us, you guys strangling me, and I CG'd Dave Espit behind me, approving of it all. And because there's sometimes he wants to strangle me too, because I get too overzealous, and I want it all because I want everybody else's name to be on what Noah did for me. We all deserve it. Each one of us individually and as groups deserve the Lifetime Achievement Award. And maybe next year that door will open more for everyone. And maybe, if they forget me or not, that's fine, because there'll always be more.
I don't think they're going to forget you anytime soon, honestly. I mean, your legacy is going to carry on for a while. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to have Donnie ask you the question.
All right. Yep. I'm going to ask you the question. I don't know if you know about it or not, but we ask everybody this question. There's no right or wrong answer. And the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
Go-to kill. Well, Damien, because that's who I am, will always go after people who have sinned, who have tainted their souls. So... yeah, I'll go after the, you know, the hot chicks because they're hot chicks. And because I like, you know, like chickens too. They run. But, you know, with me developing a story and script, he'll go after them, but he'll also go after, you know, the drug dealers. He's almost like a slight anti-hero too. So a serial killer would be, you know, anybody who has really sinned and really has, you know, let my father, the evil one, in. And they just need their heads taken off, either by a scythe or a shovel or my hand.
There you go.
On Christmas.
On Christmas. Had to throw that in there.
Oh.
So, Damien, let everybody know how they can find out more about you on social media. You mentioned TikTok. I know you got Facebook. How can people find out more about Damien Reber?
Well, there's a Twitter, Damien Reber 20, because I didn't feel like doing 21, changing it. And TikTok, you can find Damien Reber on there. On Facebook, look up the Legends of Damien Reber or Damien Reber. You can find me on there. TikTok, Damien Reber. If you want to go and check out, again, my friends or Girls Play, I'm haunting them. And we talk about all of our times haunting on there, on their chat. So if you want to swing by and see me on there. And, of course, I would be remiss not to say go to Dungeon of Delhi Legacy on Facebook. Check them out. Then Schoolhouse and Mall. Go check them out. Support them. The only way we're going to get through all this stuff will be support each other. And even though we're tired, we're family. And when I rest in peace, or rest in damnation, it will have Dungeons logo, Dent Schoolhouse, and Mall on there. As Jason, of course, had you know, the Mall logo with his thing. And yeah, I didn't want to. You know, because my blood's all through it. I'm all with you guys. And, of course, the Damien Reber symbol is brown top. Any other plugs? Just give everybody love. We all need love right now. We all need to connect. And, you know, when it's time, get together. And I might be in a wheelchair. I might be, you know, worse for wear. But we're all here. We all need to connect. That's what we need right now.
Couldn't have put it better myself, my friend. For Damien Reber and my co-host, Donnie Hoover, I am Meat Hook Jim. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast, and we will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror Channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.wrestlehorror.com.